Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. We will have our fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and everyone's invited for good food and good fellowship. And following the luncheon, there will be a 2 o'clock service at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon as usual. And please note in your bulletin that all other activities normally scheduled for Sunday afternoon are canceled, and that is our custom on the last Sunday of the month. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. And now I would ask our treasurer and deputy CEO to conduct the next instance here.
Thank you, Brother Plicka. I'd like to call a special meeting this morning, a short one, of the congregation. So let us bow for just a moment, word of prayer. Lord, we come to you, take care of a small matter of business, but important in the life of this church. We are to approve a new member. Bless us as we go about your business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Deacon Board has approved the membership of our longest traveling member, longest distance away from the church, Angela Mozart, and would like to present to the congregation her membership. Is there a motion by a member of the congregation to approve Angela Mozart as a member of Bethel Baptist Church? Mary makes the motion. Second by Mike Murphy. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you very much, Angela. We're happy to have you with us. And please, everybody in the congregation, greet Angela after church as she leaves for her long journey home. Happy to have you. And now the chair will declare the congregational meeting over.
Thank you, Jack. Praise the Lord. And now Pastor Tomlinson will come and give us a brief update on the situation of the new church.
How many of you have a bulletin in your hands? So if you open up the bulletin, okay, Mike has to open up both. If you open up the bulletin, you will see a folded sheet of paper that looks like this. If you open it all the way, you will see the design of the new church building. you know, where all of the rooms are located and how it's all set up. So this is for your, this is for you to take home, to pray over, to look upon. And if you have questions or comments, you'd like to talk about it. I am available anytime you want to talk. And so that is our new building. That is for you. And praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 1, O Worship the King. Continue our worship with hymn number 476, It is Glory Just to Walk with Him. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 496, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you. standing for prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we meet together and as we fellowship in the hands of the mighty God, that the praises to your name and the word of the living God may be not only profitable, but encourage us for our days ahead. Father, you said in the word of God, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All of you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. As today we close the book of Esther, we stand in awe of what you have done then. And Father, you are not dead. You are alive. And even though we are in different situations of life, each one of us, some of them very, very tough, you are still alive. Never so tough like Esther. So on the 11th hour, you intervene and change everything around to honor yourself and us. And I pray, Lord, I pray that through the sermon today, people may go home with a treasure of God in their heart, and they will have a trust for the future, not in themselves, but in you. Thank you for your word, which is our guideline, which is the basis of our hope. As a church body, Father, we have needs because we are individuals, and each one have emotional or physical or mental needs. But I remember some of them, and Loretta Forrest at the very last moments of her life, Jerry West and Mary West in Costa Rica, they had to make an emergency trip to America because of his illness. Anne Peretto with her difficulties, Dana Noriel improving, and Lord, I pray that you control her because she's moving fast. And Father, for our building project, our brother have put in the bulletin our design, and we're going to Father, see what the congregation think and listen to everybody. And then, Father, when we present these to the city, may you honor these and may these be pleasing to you so that we may have the next building done very soon. Yesterday, Father, when in our memorial service, we have no more room for people. They were standing on one side and the other, and we see the needs of this building. It's not that we want to improve our life. We have a need to make room for people, and we pray that you be in this. Lord, we love to have missionaries, and we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, David and Denise Rode, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, Martha Peretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey. Be with each one of them and give them hope because life is tough. Psalm 78 tells us that the man of God goes out to put the seed of God crying, but then he will recall that seed with joy. And Lord, the ministry is not easy. It's difficult, but nothing is impossible for you. And so we pray for those missionaries who, great effort, are moving on and proclaiming the word. And Lord, we have expenses because everything good costs money. And so we have expenses. And so we are thankful for your people that they love you and provide for the expenses of this church. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I speak the wisdom that ordained the sun to
take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Esther. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 601. We will be reading Esther chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Esther chapter 8, the entire chapter. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, If it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. And how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write you also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is, the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness at feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for giving us the written record of true history. We thank you that you have given us the ability to believe that the scriptures are authored by the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and all our reliance and trust is in him and not in ourselves. We thank you for the book of Esther, showing us how you care for your people, even when your hand is not always evident to us. We know that you always keep your word, even when your people do not. We thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. We will be forever grateful for saving us from condemnation and judgment because of the work of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and guide him now as he comes to expose the great truths of Scripture so that we may continue to grow in faith. We pray for all those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD that you would bless them, knowing your word will not return to you void. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. And we come to the end of the story of the book of Esther. Today, God's willing, we're going to look in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 as the story comes to a close. As you remember, I told you a few Sundays ago, about maybe 3 months ago, that the title that I gave to the book of Esther is The Invisible Presence of God. I had chosen to take my Bible and put the title in each book of the 66 books of the Bible so that I get an idea when I open a book, then I know what is in it. The Invisible Presence of God. I taught you in chapter 1 that the invisible presence of God was seen by a social disturbance of the empire. A mighty, tremendous king, a man of power, tell his wife, come here, do this, and she said no. The guy was shocked. The empire was shocked. A woman will say no to her husband in the Persian Empire? Mamma mia, we say in Italian. And so she lost the crown. She lost the crown. And God used that in chapter 2, but the invisible presence of God was there by selecting a Jew as queen of the Persian Empire. Little King Ahasuerus knew that this precious, gorgeous Miss Universe, Esther, was a Jew. He didn't know, but God made it for that way. In chapter 3, the invisible presence of God was seen by allowing Satan to show his colors. Sometimes things go bad in your life, worse every day. And the reason is God allowed this in our life so that we can see Satan's colors. I tell you, they're bad. In chapter 4, the invisible presence of God was there by placing one person in a key position in the kingdom. Just one person. God doesn't need an army. God doesn't need all the people agree. The one person that agree with God, that's enough for God. And he placed that person on the top in the Persian Empire. In chapter 5, the invisible presence of God is seen by giving Esther a calm and wise and confident plan. In chapter 4, Mordecai revealed to her what Haman going to do. And I say this because you are familiar with all these names. I hope so. And Haman want to eliminate all the Jews. It's a picture of Satan want to eliminate all the Christians, whether you die or he take you out of business by sin. That's Satan's business. Remember, like a roaring lion, he's looking if can get you divorced. He's looking if you can get, he's looking what he can do in your life to put you down. That's his business. And in chapter 5, Esther now has the heavy weight of knowing what is ahead. And she is in the palace. She has her own palace. And I imagine what went through her mind, but she keep cool. Chapter 6, the invisible presence of God is by God having his way regardless. You remember this situation went really off, and Haman thought that he had it, but the king cannot sleep. Remember that one? The king cannot sleep. Oh, what a constant. What did he ask? Not for tomorrow's soccer team newspaper. He asked, give me the papers a few years ago. Maybe if I read the old stories, I fall asleep. You think that's a coincidence? That's the sovereignty of God, we say in theology. And he read there, remember, that Mordecai saved his life. He said, what did we did for this fellow? He said, nothing, my king. Well, who is in the palace? Who was always around the palace? Haman, the proud. You know, that's Satan. It's always right there at your door in your home. And the king said, invite him in. And he tell this story to Haman, remember? He said, what should we do for the man who saved the king's life? Oh, Haman said, oh, he's going to honor me. And he go on and on and on and on. At the end, remember, God said, well, do all of these for Mordecai. And the guy wanted to die. Go home. And his wife knew more of the Bible than he knew. He went home and he told the story to his wife. And his wife said, if that Mordecai is a Jew, you are dead. Nobody can go against a Christian. You're a Christian? Nobody can go against you. No, the courts of the United States. No, the kings of the earth. Nobody. Because you belong to the King of Kings. All right. Chapter 7. God's surprising sovereignty. Esther has to intervene. This woman was good. She can go and hug the husband and say, I'm going to tell you something. But she did it professionally. She respects her husband in the highest degree. And makes a banquet. Actually, two banquets, remember? And invite Haman. And Haman came in and was there in the banquet. And she told the story. Somebody is going to kill me and is going to kill the people of Israel. Now, she was very good. She put her on the spot. So the king said, I don't want to lose my wife. And remember what he said? Who is he and where is he? And she turned around and said, this gentleman, Haman. And that's the end of that fellow. He died. So the story ends. But chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10 reveals to me what I call the walls fell down. And I just want to go a little bit back in history to show you the walls that fell down in Esther times. To encourage you to stand still in the Christian faith. Anyone who knows even a little history knows how true that is. The walls fell down. The Hebrew lived 430 years. In slavery in Egypt. But the walls of slavery fell down. Go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 3, page 80. The book of Exodus, chapter 13, in verse 3, page 80. In the pew, there is a Bible in the pew, and if you're using that Bible, it's page 80. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by a strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. So in preparation of the Passover, God said, now remember, you were in slavery and God brought you down. Now remember, God only used one guy, Moses. Amazing. Amazing. Few years later, Joshua and the Hebrew invaded the promised land near the valley and close to the walled city of Jericho. To the naked eye, that was one impossible structure of a stone. But was nothing in the presence of God. Go with me to Joshua, chapter 6, verse 20, page 266. Joshua, chapter 6, in verse 20, page 266. And look at what the Bible says. Joshua 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with a trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the walls fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Jerusalem was locked and looked so strong. The city flew its own flag, the Israel flag, under numerous kings. But Nebuchadnezzar broke down the walls and conquered the city. The Medo-Persian Empire emerged and appeared unconquerable. But Alexander the Great, 29 years old at that time, swept across the scene and conquered the world. The Romans, remember? They believed their walls will stand forever. They were strong, no doubt about it. But they ultimately fell beneath the invasion of the barbarians, more ruthless and powerful than the Roman Empire. Now, all of these bring me to the book of Esther, and I'm going to go in chapter 8, verse by verse, and show you the walls that fell down her day. And then have a personal question to ourselves, what walls fell down today? And you will see it, all right? Number one, the wall that fell down in Esther's day is an unchangeable heart. Esther chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2. On that day, the king Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, the Jewish enemy, unto Esther the queen. You have no other reference in the Bible about that, but if you go to the historians, the Roman historians at that time, and secular history, there was decree that when a king conquer another king, the house of that king goes to the general-in-chief of his kingdom. That's what I learned from books of history. But don't make a big deal about it, but that's why you see in verse here 1 that Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman unto the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. So, an unchangeable heart. You remember what the king did? He signed a decree. That's it. All the Jew will die on the last month, Adar, on the 13th day of that month. And now God changed his heart. I mean, in the Persian Empire, whatever the king decree is done and cannot be changed. But nothing is impossible for God. The king cannot erase the other decree, but he can make a new decree. And that's how he found the way. So the wall that fell down was the king's heart. He changed his mind. Now, also, the wall that fell down was an irrevocable edict. Look in chapter 8. I'm going to start reading from verse 3. Look at what happened. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jew. Then the king held out the golden scepter to Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. You know that because if the king will not have the scepter, she will die. That was such a kind of professional respect for the office of the king. Irritates me when the media speak bad about our president, any president. There is no respect for authority. And the Bible says in Romans 13 that the governments are placed by God, and we should have respect for authority. Verse 4, then the king held out the golden scepter to Esther, verse 5, and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jew, which are in all the king's provinces. See, you cannot erase the edict, but you can reverse that. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Verse 7. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther, the queen, unto Mordecai, the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jew. Write ye also for the Jew as it like you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may not man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at the time on the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 3 and 20 days thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jew and to the Lutheranians and the deputies and the rulers of the province which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jew according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king's Ahasuerus' name. Is not something? The man who was ready to die on the gallows, he writes on the name of the king. Verse 11. Wherein the king granted the Jew, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives. See, the other decree is still standing. And the people in Persia could come and trying to kill the Jew. So now he said, now you have the right to defend yourself. Now you have the right to stand. Gather yourself together and stand for this. And look at in verse 12. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, the copy of the writings for the commandments to be given in every province was published unto all the people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves of their enemies. And so God there was an irrevocable edict that was placed, but God changed it. That edict fall in pieces. I mean, in the Persian Empire, whatever you write is then, but it falls in pieces in the hands of God. All right. Now, an impenetrable gloom came in. Look at from verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jew had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whatsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jew had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jew, for the fear of the Jew fell upon them. In other words, here is a gloom for the Persian Empire. Suddenly, one writing of the king changed the whole panorama. And the Persians, who were ready to destroy the Jewish people, now they endorse the Jewish people to save their life. So the wall of pride of the empire fell down. One more. An incredible day of sorrow. Have you read chapter 9? It is horrible. Let me read it for you, some verses. Verse 1. Now in the 20th month, that is in the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jew hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jew had rule over them that hated them, the Jew gathered themselves together in their cities through all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon the people. And all the rulers of the provinces and all the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jew. Do you got it? The people who were ready to kill the Jew, now they help the Jew. Verse 4, for Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his name and his fame went out through all the provinces. For this man Mordecai grew greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they will do unto those that hated them. In other words, now the thing reverse. That day should be on the 13th day of the month of Adar, should be the death of all the believers, and reverse. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know who die? All of them die? The sons of Haman. The sons of Haman. Let me read for you. verse 7, 8, and Ramil Parmi, but I'm going to pronounce this Parsi name in the way I can, all right? Verse 7, they're all from Persia. Par Shanvata, Dalpon, and Aspatha, and Porata, and Adalaya, and Aridata, and Parmashata, and Arisai, Aridai, and Vahezezata. Amazing. All these people. And if you know what those names mean, some of them is given to prayer, the first one. The second, Dalpon, dripping. Azapata, given to entice people, means those names. Parota, frustration. Adalia, I shall draw up. Aridata, the lion on defense. Parmashata, superior. Arisai, lion that bears everything. Aridai, the lion is enough. And Bazata is strong to win. In other words, those names were given as a sign of power from Haman. They're all dead. They're all dead. People can get the names they want to, but they're all dead. They're all dead. Now I'm going to read chapter 9, verse 20 to 26, because the wall that fell down there was a forgotten attitude. Chapter 9, verse 20 to 26. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both night and far. So established this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day. You know something? It's just unbelievable that they should make them days of feast and joy, of sending portions one to another and give to the poor. And the Jew undertook to do as they had begun, as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jew to destroy them and cast poor, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that this wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore, they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of their letters and of that which they have seen concerning this matter and which hath come unto them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an impossible thing. On the 11th hour, when Haman was ready to take Mordecai into the gallows, the whole thing turned around. But then was this heavy, heavy decree that was hanging there, written by something that cannot be changed. And God works in the heart, Ahasuerus, remember Proverbs 21:1, the king is in the Lord's hand, and created in him a new scheme of idea. Write another decree overruling the other and let the Jew handle, and the Jew really handled. And the sons of Mordecai were killed. How the whole thing ends? Well, chapter 10, it's only three verses. Can I read it? Because I have another half hour to talk to you. So people in the radio, please keep me on. Verse 10, chapter 10. This is how the end. And the king Ahasuerus lay a tribute upon the land, upon the islands of the sea, and all the acts of his power and all his might and declarations of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto unto the king advanced him, are then no written in the books of Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. For Mordecai, the Jew, was next unto the king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to his seed. Is not that a picture of Christ? Is not that a picture of Christ? An incredible ending. The man who was nobody. If you're going to choose a leader, you don't choose Mordecai. He was a guy from town. And he just maybe got the water on the well and went home and made his meal. And who knows how he lives in a poor. If you're going to choose a person, you will not choose Mordecai. But God chose a man whose heart was with the Lord. God doesn't look how we dress. God doesn't look the house we live. God looks your heart and my heart. And then God will use you if you are serious with the Lord. So now you know the story of Esther. Pastor, do you know another walls that fell down? Yes, 2,000 years ago. I want to show you two walls who are very important for you to know. They are broken 2,000 years ago. One is the access to God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 22. One wall that fell down is the access to God. You remember there was established from Exodus 28 that the access to God need to be in a sanctuary of three parts. The court, the holy, and the holy of holies. But nobody can get into the holy of holies because it was a veil, was a wall. And in that wall, only the high priest, a symbol of Christ, can go in. And there was the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubims. And the high priest confessed his sin to God. And he's forgiven. He comes out and the people are forgiven. But the people cannot pray directly to God. There was a wall. 2,000 years ago, that wall fell down. Let me read it for you. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he, talking about Christ, is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition before us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the laws of commandment contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you who were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto where? Unto the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, the wall that was blocking the presence of God is gone. But there is one way only to get it. You have to go through Mordecai. You have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you like it or not, you have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't go through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are out. And you end in hell. And so that's what I passionate tells you. Please consider the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one. What about Buddha? It's going to be burn in hell. What about the popes? They are going to burn in hell if they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the wall that divides you to God is opened only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Mordecai, unless you have the seal of Mordecai, the people were dead. And unless you have the blood of Christ upon you, you're dead. And that's exactly what the Bible says. I don't care how religion has changed. I don't care if we call ourselves Baptists, if people are called Catholics, but you should call yourself a person that can talk to God. But if you have no Christ, you cannot talk to God. It's an imagination of your heart and mind. The wall that fell down 2,000 years ago. We don't need a new denomination. We don't need a new religion. We need to wake up and love Jesus Christ for what he has done. Another wall was fell. And it's the wall of death. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read for you verse 54 to 57. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 these words. So when this corruptible shall have put incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That is written in Hosea 13 and in Isaiah 25 in verse 8. Then look at in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That was written in Hosea 13. 14. And those prophets that wrote that, and they don't know what they were writing. But now Paul said, look at this. But the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus Christ rose from the tomb, you will rise from the tomb. We did yesterday a memorial service about Betty Tart. And Friday I had the most serious business to put Betty Tart on the ground. That is the hardest, with the family, a large family around. And we talk about David, who said, I lay down and I raise up. And I said, she is laid down, but tomorrow, when the resurrection comes, she's going to raise up. 2,000 years ago, that wall of death is gone. Finish. Because my Savior rose from the dead. Now, my $4 million question, do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you do not believe it, you're going to hell. Please, as I said yesterday, I will say it again. Will you pick up a Bible from the pew, if you don't have one, and read it in your home? Because faith comes, hearing. Hearing what? The word of God, not the newspaper, not the media. They said they're going to attack Iran. The government is going to do this. Who cares what they do? What we need to care is, where are you in your heart? Are you like Mordecai, who fear God and follow the scripture, or you follow your instinct, which is bad? Or you follow the tradition of your parents, which may be bad? You need to follow this book. Call the Bible. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that the book of Esther ends. And ends with a precious victory of the Jewish people. The people that fear you. Actually, two people fear you, Mordecai and Esther. Oh, Lord, if we have in this church two people who fear you, the whole town will turn around. So I pray for me. I pray for Pastor Tomlinson. I pray for the deacons. I pray for the congregation, that we may turn to you and share this gospel with power and might until every soul in Morin Hill come to know you. Oh God, give us that desire from within. In Jesus we pray, amen. Thank you. And Philippines, all right? There's no barriers in Christ Jesus. No barriers. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.